Jazz here, and I am so digging the GeekCast Radio Network.
Greetings, humans. This is Starscream, and you're listening to ToyCast. And if any of you call me a partsformer one more time...
Now, ToyCast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of ToyCast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and today's featured guest is, well, she's royalty, apparently. I don't know where this comes from. We will get that story, but... it is none other than Miss Teresa. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. So it's time we started talking toys here on ToyCast, and I don't remember. I have all my episode numbers mixed up. I know what 175 was because that's probably already out by now, folks, but... you're either going to be 178 or I don't know, because originally I was going to have, you know, the rulers, Slapshot Pops, I was going to have them at 177 for Star Wars, and that didn't happen. So I don't know where you're going to fall, but you're going to come pretty soon here, most likely mid to end of May. And we have 42 questions all about toy collecting. What is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
Couch Patch Kids.
Very cool, very cool.
So that was my first, I don't know, I guess collectible per se, because at the end of it, I ended up having like 30 of them, so.
Only 30?
Only 30, yeah.
Boy, adult Teresa is looking back on kid Teresa and saying, you amateur.
You know what's funny is I actually still have them.
That's cool. That's good. That's awesome. That's great. It's always nice to see when people's childhood toys can make it through to adulthood, because that's a rocky road.
Yep. Yep. That it is.
Yes, yes. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
No. I can't say unsupportive. I mean... my brother and I were raised by our grandparents, and so our grandparents pretty much spoiled us rotten, so anything we ever wanted, we could get, pretty much, and so they actually, like, created our own little toy room, and so, like, our toy room was, you know, completely full of toys, Legos, Barbies, you know, constructs, like G.I. Joes, Transformers, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, we were quite spoiled.
Nice. That is so cool. That's awesome. Yeah, my entire family was like that. My mom, my dad, not so much. That's a story or question I can answer later, because that's why that question exists. But but my mom, my grandma, and my grandpa, my grandpa would go take me to, like, 88, 89 when I was 8 or 9 years old. He would take me over to, I don't know where it was, up in Massachusetts. It was probably Benny's or CVS, or we'd find the Ninja Turtles that were out at the time and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was so cool. What types of toys were your favorites to play with?
I mean, besides video games, I'd have to say Barbies. I mean, I'd spend hours and hours on Barbies when I was a kid. So, I mean, we had, I gotta say, I had My Little Ponies, I had Strawberry Shortcakes, I had all that, Rainbow Bright, I had it all, so, but yeah, I mean, like, I would spend hours playing Barbies, so.
Very cool, very cool. So is that the one that kind of stands out more than the rest of them, is the Barbies?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
Probably action figures, if we're looking at it from, like, now, for, like, G.I. Joes, Transformers and all that stuff. I would definitely say action figures instead of toys or dolls. Because, you know, I mean, they're action figures.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The whole dolls thing is, like, because I remember as a kid, sometimes one or two of my family members who didn't understand why children play with toys. Oh, Mikey's going to go home and play with his dolls now. I'm like, they're not dolls. My grandma didn't do this, but they're not dolls, Grandma. They're action figures. You know, that old, that old thing. It's like, good guys or girls or bad guys or girls, which were your favorites to play with the most?
Well, with my brother, with He-Man, I was both. I was She-Ra and I was, what's her name? Teela. Mm-hmm. So, or Teela's the same one. What's the evil one?
Teela is a different hero, but Evil-Lyn is the bad side.
Yeah. So, with my brother, it was, I played with both. So it didn't matter.
Very cool. Very cool. What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset?
I mean, toy vehicle, I guess, would have to be, like, my Barbie convertible, you know, of course, always, like, you know, back in the 80s, that's what we all played with, right?
Yeah.
Playset, my grandpa actually built me a three-story Barbie house, so I'd have to say that as my playset, so... That was definitely something cool. You know, it had carpet and it had all kinds of cool stuff in it. So it was impressive.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you and your friends ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this, I mean, did you say, I'm going to be this toy and you can be that toy? Like, John can be the piece of glass and Joanna can be the water bottle or whatever.
Yep. Oh, yeah, of course. Always. Yep. So, I mean, we had quite the imagination, so of course.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When I get to that question, sometimes people don't understand it. They're like, what are you talking? I'm like, technically it's what LARPing is today, but it was better back then because we were using our imaginations and we didn't necessarily have to dress up as the character.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
So. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
I mean, if we're talking about, like, nowadays, like, the sodas per se, I mean, the sodas, there's some that lack detail, but then there's others that are just, like, it completely brings you back to, you know, childhood or from whenever you watched it or whatnot. So, yeah, it's definitely cool.
Yeah. What does toy packaging have to draw you in? So you go into whatever store it is, because I can't say it's a toy store now, because those don't exist anymore unless you live in Canada, apparently.
Right.
But, you know, you go into a store, you see a pop, a soda, a Transformer, a G.I. Joe, a Barbie. Like, what does the packaging have to be for you to say, oh, I want this?
I mean, it doesn't have to say anything. Usually, like, for sodas and pops, if there's a certain one that I want, then I'll pick up. Or same with sodas. If I need it, I'll buy it. If I don't need it, I don't usually buy it. As for, like, action figures and stuff, I mean, I haven't bought a lot of action figures, but if it's something that I collect or somebody that I know collects or something like that, then, you know, it doesn't have to have any type of packaging. It can just be the figure, and I would probably buy it. So.
Hmm. Very cool, very cool. Do you open your toys or do you leave them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have any specific criteria for that?
So it depends on the toy. Obviously, sodas I open, right?
Yeah.
So pops, I usually keep them packaged. I do have a couple action figures, and yes, they're still in the package. I don't have necessarily a criteria for that. It's just, you know, like, should I open it? Should I not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool to open, but I kind of like the package too, so maybe I'll keep it together. I don't know. We'll see. So, and then I never usually open it. So,
if as a kid or an adult you were only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would you choose and why? Yeah. 12 questions in, folks. It only gets more difficult after this.
Right? So, as a kid, I mean, I'd probably say Cabbage Patches, just because, like, every one of them were different. Everyone had their own personality, per se. They had different clothes. They were never the same. As an adult, I mean, obviously, it'd have to be Funko, right? So, because that's pretty much what my main collection is nowadays. So, I would definitely have to say Funko. So,
cool.
As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
It depends. It depends on what it is. So if I'm out and about yard sailing or at an antique shop or something like that, there's some that'll, like, you know, they make you intrigued because of, like, the history that toy has.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, I guess it depends. You know, I do a little bit of both. You know, I'll buy a vintage one, not a problem. 1950s, 1940s, you know, something like that. Like, thinking of, you know, like something my parents played with or my grandparents played with. I mean, that's definitely cool. But, you know, I mean, I have nieces and nephews and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know, I buy modern toys all the time. So.
Very cool. Very cool. What is one toy you always gravitate to more than the rest? So in your entire collection, what's the one toy you'll go and pick up and, you know, look at or put on your desk or whatever?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, in a couple episodes ago, I actually did it live on the air. I had to rewrite that question to what it is currently because we would get all kinds of dirty looks and dirty thoughts because originally that question was, what is one toy you can always play with? And everybody I know, including me, has a dirty mind. So has it changed that question just a little bit?
I mean, any of my sodas, you know, I'll pick up and look at or play with. I mean, not really play with, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll no, it's not and... really like, but it's like, oh, I'm going to have like.
I am Batman.
Not technically a soda because it's a pop, but. Like, you have that on your desk, or you have, let's say, Bedtime Bear or Marty McFly, or, you know, it's just the one that you gravitate to more than most of the others.
I mean, I don't really have a lot on my desk except for, like, all the new sodas that I still have to put away, to be honest. So, and then when I put them away, then I don't really have anything on my desk. So I can't really say that there's something like that, like, has to be pulled off the shelf or whatever to just sit here and play with or look at or anything like that. But I mean, it would have to be probably something Wonder Woman because, or Harley Quinn. Both of those are my favorites. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I need to get the Harley soda. I need to get that Chase. Isn't the Chase metallic?
It depends on, well, yeah, both of them are.
Wait, the Common and the Chaser metallic? I thought only one of them was metallic.
No, there's two Harleys.
I mean the animated series one. Not
oh, yeah, the... yeah, yeah, it's Harley. Yeah. Or it's metallic, yeah.
Yeah. Even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be a toy line, character, etc. So again, you're going into the store, you see all the toys, you see something, and you're just like, nope, that ain't for me.
No, not really. You know, I mean, I was never restricted growing up or anything like that. So, like, that kind of stuff doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother me or whatnot. And I think my family feels the same sentiment, so there's nothing too absurd per se to not buy or want to buy. So
very cool, very cool. Are there any toys in the past or currently you wish you had not bought them, or are there any toys that you may have sold that you regret letting them go?
I'd have to say, I'd have to say, like, my strawberry shortcakes. I got rid of those when I first got them or whatever, because it just brought up some bad memories from childhood and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I didn't want them. But, you know, now I kind of regret not having them because, you know, they're just nostalgia, right? But then again, I mean, maybe I don't know. I mean, that would be the only thing that I would regret getting rid of and not having now. So
very cool, very cool. How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
Well, my Funkos are currently in one room, and I have not gone outside the one room for my Funkos. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I still have my Cabbage Patches, right? So my Cabbage Patches have kind of, they're a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit everywhere. So, and it's like easy access for like the kids, if the kids come over or want to play or whatnot. Not that I have kids come over or anything, but, you know, I mean, they're readily available and they're not coming in here and messing around with my Funkos. So I guess they're a little bit everywhere. So all my collectibles are. Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. How do you keep track of your collection, if you do?
Well, I mean, obviously there's HobbyDB, right? Or there's the Funko app or any of those stuff. I also have a list of the chases and the sodas that I need, because yes, I am a completionist. However, I have yet to, mark a bunch of that stuff off the list. So, it's a laundry list of the items that I want, so for sure.
nice. How do you display your toys?
I mean, you've seen it, so
yeah, a little
out of the box, right? Yep. Or in my case, out of the can. So out of the can on the shelf. I've got lights around it. You know, it looks phenomenal. I like it. You know, I display both the common and the chase next to each other. So, in some instances, you'll see the holes in my collection that where I'm missing the chase or whatnot. So you can definitely tell which items I need. So,
Yeah. If you could only keep one toy from your entire collection, what would it be and why? Like, the house is on fire. Everybody is safe. Humans, pets, whatever is safe. But what's the one thing you'd run in to save?
It would probably be my pink Batman soda.
Hmm. The Adam West one? The new one?
No, the old one. The all pink one.
Oh, right. Yep. All right. Well, folks, I think we're just going to move on with the questions because, wow, this has been the fastest episode. Usually by now we're at 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Most of the recording. Yeah. I usually tell people it's going to be like a 2 or 3 hour recording. So as long as you can make the time for that, that's fine and great. So here's the flip side to that kind of question. Here's the toy box challenge, and I assume this is inches, I don't know. You get one 18 by 18 by 18 box. The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
Oh boy. Well, I'd have to take my Jada toy, Wonder Woman, and probably the Harley too. So, and then, I mean, probably just my DC sodas if hopefully I have room for those. and then obviously like, oh, the pops, I mean, I'd have to keep some of my chases, right? Some of my OG DC chases that I have. So the OG Wonder Woman chase, the OG Batman chase, the OG Superman chase, the OG Flash chase, the Robin chase, Two-Face, the Penguin. So I'm sure I'm at 18 by 18 now.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, I mean, Funko's, sodas, and pops are not exactly large things. I'm sure you could pack a lot into it. So it's kind of obvious, folks, but we still have to ask the question, are you a Funko fan?
Well, I'm not a huge fan, just a little one.
Says the woman that goes to HQ like every other week.
That's only because I'm up there for work anyways, so.
Mm-hmm. Excuses. I lived out there for almost 4 years. I was a 3-hour drive away and I never got to go. Oh well.
Should have done it.
I can't drive, and when, you know, the person that drives isn't around anymore, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Hey, no, it, yeah. So, Funko fan, when did you first find Funko? Like, what? How did you discover them? How did you discover the pops or the sodas or whatever?
So, gosh, it's been forever and a day. I'm gonna say like probably 2016-ish. My cousins actually live up there, by the way. So, I have some cousins that live up there. And they were talking about it at a family get together or something like that, probably in Montana or somewhere. And so, that's where I first discovered it. And then I was actually up there for work. And so they asked me if I wanted to go to Funko HQ, and I'm like, sure, I don't know what these are, like, show me. And then I was completely intrigued, like, and so that's what kind of opened the door. So
what was your first pop, do you remember?
I do, and I still have it, actually, believe it or not. It was the Wonder Woman bombshell pop. So I actually bought two of them at the same time, so both of them are still in my collection. And so, yeah, that's what started the whole thing.
Very cool, very cool. So you're more into the sodas than the pops nowadays, huh?
Yes, but I still have pops.
So. Oh, you still have them, but you're buying pretty much every soda at this point.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, every soda. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, she is the soda queen. Because, you know, she'll buy them all. She doesn't care what character it is.
If I need it, I'll buy it.
Well, so what was the first soda you got?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember. My goodness. I mean, it would probably be a DC character, I'll have to say, but I don't know which one. Maybe so, Superman? I don't remember. I really don't remember.
Wow. So what is it about the sodas that you liked so much?
I love a lot of them. I love the detail, right? Each individual one has a different detail, you know, but it reminds me of like childhood, like growing up, like, you know, like all the Hanna-Barbera ones or all the cartoons that we used to watch growing up, or like the Motu or Masters of the Universe. I mean, we all grew up watching that stuff. And so it's phenomenal, right? Yeah. So I love the detail of, and the nostalgia of it, I guess. So.
Yeah, I wasn't really on the soda train, because I'm like, they're in cans. You can't leave them in the can because then you can't see the dang thing. So you got to take them out and you got to find a way to display them properly. And luckily, we know people that have actually created display pieces. Hello, Jim. Oh, rock and roll with the soda decks.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, I think I have like 24, 25 sodas. I've bought 25 soda decks from him, easy.
Absolutely. Just, so, yeah, I mean, when I first started, oh, I had soda decks left and right. I still do. I still have them. I don't display them that way.
Yeah. I asked him when I first got my first set, I'm like, wait, where's the name? He's like, they wanted to charge me an extra dollar, so I said, screw it. Because originally, soda decks came with the name soda deck on the thing. It was black. It was lettered in black.
But those were just stickers. You know that, right? Like, we put those stickers on there.
That wasn't a sticker. It was.
Yes, it was.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
I did not know that.
So when I went back to visit Slapshots a few years ago, and I literally sat there and had to put the sticker on every single one of them for them. So.
Yep. Wow. I did not know it was a sticker. I thought it was embossed like the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a sticker.
Huh, that's interesting. So when did you first find John and Joanna, who are Slapshot Pops on YouTube and whatnot, folks? Yes, it's the same Slapshot Pops. But how did you first find them?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just gotten into like watching the YouTube videos and stuff, and I got on a live stream somehow, and I ran across them. And this is before I knew what live streams were really, you know, like, I mean, we do live streams every week, right?
Yep.
This was something that like, it was new to me, and so like they were on with somebody else, and I was just like, oh, like these are cool people. And then I had just recently bought like a mystery box, mm-hmm. and it was something that I knew that he was wanting, so I just reached out to him on Instagram. I'm like, hey, can I send this to you, like, just randomly?
yeah
so I mean yeah, it was cool. So
yeah. Very cool, very cool. Yeah, folks, if you don't know, the Slapshot Pops Funko community is amazing. $10 every month gets you a puck, gets you in on the group chats and whatever else, and make sure you have them add you to Blue Team, because that's the best team, as we all know. Although she's biased because she's a moderator and she's on all three teams.
That's right. Yes, I am biased. Yes.
We all know the true answer. It's true blue. Come on.
I'm not gonna say.
Sure you're not. We all know the truth, folks. We all know the truth.
Honestly, I would have to say no.
Oh, come on.
No, because like I have to say, one of the other chats has a lot of the OG people. So like the people that I got very familiar with, and it's just kind of weird how they all ended up in that chat. It really is, but like it's kind of like going home, if that makes sense, after being shuffled up and into all the other chats and all that stuff, and then them, you know, putting all these chats back in, it really was like, you know, you're really familiar with it, because like, yeah. We really got to know each other, and like that was like our little community right there in that group chat back in the day, long time ago. I would have to say probably 2 years ago now. But we really got to know each other, like what each other collects and what we're looking for. Always were willing to help each other out. We weren't like charging people for stuff. We were doing trades and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, they're good people, good, genuine people. And if they know that you're looking for something, they'll reach out to you and be like, hey, I picked up an extra one of these for you.
Yeah.
Or if they know that I'm looking for something, or if they're looking for something and they know like I'm going to HQ, they're like, hey, I'm looking for this. Okay, cool. Perfect. I'll see what I can do. So you guys don't understand. Like, I don't walk out of Funko without spending less than $300 to $600. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But it's not all for me. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, no. Because there aren't that many sodas yet.
But there is.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of sodas, but not $300 to $600 each time you go. Come on now. There's not that. They haven't gotten to that. Like, the soda catalog isn't. Hell, the overall catalog isn't even that large yet. The overall catalog is like 27,000 items or something.
All right. Well, think about it this way. I buy 2 to 3 sodas a time at a time of each character to try to pull the chase.
Right.
And so if they have 10 different sodas there and they're $15 a pop.
Yeah.
And I'm buying 30 of them. That's $450 right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's crazy, folks, but we love her.
Yeah. Just a little.
Anything else about Funko you want to talk about before we move on?
I mean, they're in the news a lot lately. Supposedly, you know, I heard some guy at one of the Comic Cons that I went to, he was like, oh, Funko's going broke. They're filing bankruptcy. I'm like, that's not true. How is that true when they're coming out with these products and everybody's buying them? How is that true? Like, they can't be filing bankruptcy. So hopefully not. Hopefully that's just false news.
Yeah.
If it is, it'll be a crying shame for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can't. I can't stand when people that don't know about the stuff with Funko, where it's like, oh, they're going to go out in a couple of years just like Beanie Babies. I'm like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. So they've been around since, what, early 2000s, and this is 20 years later. Beanie Babies only lasted like 8 or 9 years. They didn't even last a whole decade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously Funko's doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. What is the most money you spent on a toy? Single item, not chases, not it could be a chase, but not like you emptied the store, but like one toy, what is the most money you spent on it?
What kind of toy?
Any toy, it doesn't matter.
So I'm really cheap when it comes to buying things for myself. So I can justify buying a $15 soda.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to big ticket items, I can't justify it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, probably $200, if that.
Oh, okay.
So, if that. I don't even think I've spent that much on one item yet. Mm. I just can't pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. I mean, you know, obviously, it's just, that's just the way the question is written. But like back in the day when I had a fairly decent job, they were paying me good money for what I was doing and whatever else. I would go on eBay and I would spend $100, $200 to get old Transformers. This is 2006, 2007. And then in 2008, the BotCon 2008 Shattered Glass set came out, and the whole set to get everything from this guy. Complete, you know, not opened, not whatever, like $800. I was like, okay, fine. I mean, the box set itself was $500, and then the three additional figures. I just recently spent $300 because I finally got, and I'm sure this is a horrible deal now considering what they're supposedly valued at. I needed the Yu-Gi-Oh! Egyptian God pops, and those a couple months ago were not cheap, and originally Slifer was, I think Slifer is still at 135, but the other two, which surprises me, Obelisk is at 70, and the Winged Dragon of Ra, which is supposedly the most powerful one in the cartoon and in the cards and whatever else, $41. So I spent just over $300 for all three.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but still, I don't know. I'm glad I have them now, obviously. So,
I have yet to pick up some of those bigger Freddies. You know, I've had them in my cart or whatever, and I've really wanted them and whatnot, but I just can't do it. Yeah, I mean, I'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on other people, but when it comes to myself, absolutely not. Nope. I just can't do it.
I have, so far, I've had one chance. Because I'm not, and I figured this out the other day, and this is so crazy, and, you know, I know you're not a person that will easily get offended, thank God, but I realized, I don't know how I realized this, but it was either in the Blue Team chat or on one of the Slapshot Lives or whatever it was, I finally realized why, for the most part, I don't give a crap about Freddy Funko. And it was because we ended up talking about the Barbie movie. And I realized that essentially Freddy is just Ken in disguise. That's all Freddy Funko is a Ken doll.
Okay. I mean, I'll... Okay.
And I mean, it's not that I despise Ken or anything else, but I just never could, when I first started collecting Funkos, I never could understand why everybody was so fascinated with their mascot, because at first I thought he was a big boy knockoff.
Yeah, he kind of is. Yeah.
And I know technically you're right. Like, I know that he's, because Big Boy was one of their first things that they ever did, they ever worked with, and whatever else. But I've come around. I like certain ones of Freddy. I think Officer Freddy is cool from NYCC.
Yeah.
I do have the HQ with whatever the Freddy is that's on. And I thought, I had no, I forget who it was in the Blue Team chat. I triple dog dared somebody to open their HQ, and I said, if you do it, I'll do it. So I opened it, not realizing that the Freddy Funko it comes with is not like glued on or molded on, or no, that's a pop that is just falls right off. I opened the box, I pulled the thing out, and Freddy just went flying across the room.
For what?
The HQ town.
Oh, the HQ town. Oh, got yeah. You. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The HQ town. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, HQ. I was thinking the HQ pop, and I'm like,
what? No, the HQ town. No, the pop town.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was
that
like,
thing's big.
Yeah, well, yeah. Between it and Wayne Manor, my pop town is pretty much set. So on the flip side, what is the cheapest toy you bought, or what was the best deal you ever got for a toy or a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more than what you paid for it?
I mean, free's always good, right?
Yeah. Very true.
I mean, I've won stuff. I mean, I'd have to say that, you know, like getting stuff given to you for free. I think I still have. I probably still have some of the pops and sodas and stuff that I've won throughout the years. Mm-hmm. So I don't win very often, though. For sure.
No, I don't either. And right now, the not counting shipping, the two best deals I ever got was I did the Little Sweet Mail-Away. So you spend $5 in soda, you're not going to drink, because Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper are the devil. But, you know, you buy the bottles, you send the UPCs in, you get a free pop 4 to 6 weeks later. And then recently, the box was a little dinged up, but it wasn't too bad. But I got a Gamerverse white symbol Spider-Man from the Spider-Man game. I finally got that pop. I think I paid, not counting shipping, I paid like under $10. So those are my two best deals I've gotten.
I'll have to say, I won a free NFT Batman pop. So I'm waiting for that to come in. That's I'm excited awesome. For that one for sure.
That's very cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How into or out of the NFTs are you? Are you a fan of the NFTs, not a fan?
I haven't even tried to dabble in it. I feel like it's a good way for Funko to make more money off of one pop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I struggle with it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my only struggle is it's essentially gambling and whether you get it or you don't get it. And I'm just like, but I just want the dang pop. Like, stop hiding the Transformers behind NFTs, please.
Right? Like, oh, yeah.
Like, Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I understand why Gold Optimus Prime was an NFT, because Gold Optimus Prime has always been that super special thing in the Transformer world and everything else. But Hot Rod, Devastator, Rumble, and Sideswipe? Freddy can go dress himself up somewhere else.
Oh, stop. Oh, my God.
Now, I don't like Freddy and Bumblebee. It looks just, ugh, no.
It looks really cartoony, for sure.
Very cartoony. Yeah. And the sad thing is, from what I know, or from what I understand, and I haven't gotten a confirmation from Funko or anybody or Hasbro, but the way I understand the Transformers license, because I have a lot of the Transformers pops, that the license that they have with them for the retro toys is basically, at least for Transformers, you can use the toy design, not necessarily the animation, you know, the show accurate design kind of thing, which is fine. I mean, the toys look great. Like my Optimus Prime Funko Pops, they look great. They just look like the old toy from Generation 1, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that, but I just find it interesting that whatever the deal is with Funko and Hasbro on those is that it's like toy designs only. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Hey, we got a Generation 1 cartoon sort of accurate thing with the GameStop lunchbox thing, because the Optimus had the orange axe and the Megatron had the purple mace, which was in the very first episode of the cartoon. So I'm happy.
Yeah, that was definitely that lunchbox was really cool.
Yeah, it was. What modern and/or vintage toy lines are you collecting right now?
I mean, modern, obviously, is the
Funko stuff.
The sodas, yeah, right? But, like, when it comes to comics and that kind of thing, like, it's DC, hands down, like, whatever. But action figures and stuff, I don't really collect a lot of action figures. I do have some, but it's usually from gifts and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot, if that makes sense. So I'm not really collecting a lot. I mean, I guess besides Legos. I mean, Legos are the best, right? So I have to say, you know, I love Lego. And probably the line that I collect the most, is probably like the city stuff. So like the cars and the buildings and like the, you know, the police, you know, stations and the fire stations and all that stuff. So
right, yeah, that's always been so cool about Lego, where you can get the city stuff and you can actually make an actual city in your, you know, room or whatever kind of thing. Always love that. Of course, for me as a kid, I was like, Lego, screw that, I want my Lincoln Logs, damn it.
Oh, we had Lego everywhere.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Between Lego and Micro Machines, nobody's foot was safe.
That's right.
Not run barefoot in the house if there are Legos or Micro Machines around, because you either going to go flying or you're going to slip and fall.
Yep. You know that Joanna didn't know what Micro Machines were, and I bought her some and sent them to her, and she's like, "Oh my God, these are cute!" Like, yeah.
So I don't want to get into the whole thing, but you and I are of a certain age where we've been around for, let's say, 4 decades, maybe.
Yeah.
They are babies at this point, and I don't mean that as in like to be insulting to them, but he just turned 30, and I'm like, oh, God. Damn, youngsters with your hipping and your hopping and your tick and your talking. Get off my lawn!
Right? Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yep. They're babies. They don't understand, like, what we did when we were kids. Because, I mean, like, you know, again, it's just like, you know, how everybody says that if the streetlights come on, it's time to come home.
That's right.
Remember when the streetlights came on and we had to be home?
You know, that really was it. So,
you're out all day long and whatever else, you're riding your bike or you're playing baseball or you're doing whatever you're doing outside. Yep. As soon as those streetlights come on, you get your ass on your bike and you get your ass home.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, boy. Yep. So, I mean, that's pretty much how it was, you know? Like, I don't know if there was days that my grandparents knew where we were.
Oh, my grandmother. Like, she needed to know where I was, when I was, and why I was at every second that I was. Like, oh my God. Like, I love, she passed away back in 2007, so it's been a long ass time since she passed, but like, oh my God, I'll say, okay, Grandma, I'm going over to Uncle Pat, because my grandma and my Uncle Pat live basically, like, literally, not across the street, but, like, right within the same vicinity of each other. And you're going where? How long are you going to be there? When are you coming back? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, as soon as the street lights come on, folks, you get your ass home and you don't come out of the house until the till it's daylight. Like,
yeah.
Do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit toy shows or conventions, do you have a certain methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for, et cetera, et cetera?
So I went to my first Comic-Con this year.
Awesome.
So I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, yes, there was a lot of money spent, but it wasn't on toys. It was on comics mostly. So, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, I've got a problem, right?
I've got a podcast for that. 30 questions all about comic books. So Teresa will be back.
But yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun. No methodology. I really didn't know what to expect. So
yeah, very cool. Very cool. What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
You know, I don't know. You know, I was never around my parents to know anything about their childhood or anything like that. So I really don't know why it brings us so much more joy, I guess, per se.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, it's just cool, you know, like, and maybe we've learned to appreciate them. Now, because we played with them when we were younger, but we've learned more of an appreciation for those things, or the you know, the G.I. Joes or the Transformers or the characters that played them, or, you know, anything like that. I think we've learned, I don't know, it's kind of a tough one, but I really think it's just that we've learned to appreciate what we had. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Most of the time we joke on the show and say, oh, it's because we actually had toys and they didn't. I mean, technically, a bicycle is not a toy.
Right. But I mean, our grandparents had toys, too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they had dolls and trucks and, you know, I mean, they had stuff, too. So, I mean, like, it's just not that. I think it's just that we've learned to appreciate more.
I think there's a big difference in, say, something like, and I had one of these when I was a kid, but like, you're talking about how your, you know, parents and grandparents had like dolls and trucks and whatever else. There's a huge difference in a truck that just kind of rolls along and you can roll it along the, you know, the perimeter of the yard or the house or whatever. And then there's a truck that, you know, debuts in 1984 that turns into this robot that's really freaking cool.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, technically the 80s were the genesis of the toy boom that we've had for the last almost 40 years.
Yeah. You
know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably. So,
what is your motivation for purchasing toys to display, play, fiddle? Describe your collecting style. I don't even have to ask this part of the question, folks, because I already know the answer, but I'm going to say it backwards. Are you a cherry picker, storyteller, or a completionist?
I think I've already hit on this a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a completionist, so I've got to have them all. So, yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Oh, yeah. Always. Of course. What kind of question is that?
Hey, some people don't do it. Some people have never done it. I've had like one or two guests, and we've been doing Origins here on the show for, well, it's been about 2 years or so now. And only like one or two people have said that they don't do that.
Oh, man. That's unfortunate. So you got to be a kid sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever purchased a vintage toy for a child because you thought it would be fun based on their own preferences, based on your own preferences?
No, I haven't. No, I don't buy a lot of toys for the kids. Because I'm just not around them enough to know like what they would like. So
Right, yeah. Very cool. Do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building dioramas or anything like that?
I mean, besides Lego, no, I don't. So I'm kind of generic when it comes to that, but I just don't have a lot of time.
Well, not everybody has the time, and not everybody wants to do it, or, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and that's fine.
I'd rather work with wood out in the garage than paint something small and minute.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
Both. They got to mix both. I mean, even now, I mean, as an adult, like, I still want to play with toys. So,
yeah.
But they need to mix it up a little bit, for sure.
It's funny. This has only ever happened to me once, but I was in a Walmart somewhere. I forget where I was. And I was getting ready to get to the pop section. And there was this, like, whole family just standing around, and it was like two adults and four kids, and I'm just like, damn, kids, get away from my pops. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything, but like, really, Funko Pops are not for children.
No, not really, because they destroy them. Destroy the boxes. And then you go to shop for them, and you're just like, oh, man, they're all trashed. Like, I mean, you can't find a decent one sometimes.
Nope. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there is. I'm looking at Books a Million, Neo and the Matrix. I'm trying to see if there's like a, like, you know, ages 6 and up on here. And I don't see any age limit on the pop boxes, which...
Sometimes there is. So sometimes there's a 17 and up, and I want to say those are on the horror ones.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but... Yeah. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
No. Because, again, I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandma... like to save everything, so she saved all of it for us, luckily. So I mean, she saved all of it for us. Yeah, we've pretty much had to go through our stuff, if that makes sense.
I always ask that question, and it doesn't necessarily have to be parents. It could be grandparents, it could be whatever, whoever whoever was in your childhood. Because my mom was always super supportive. My dad just kind of, I don't know what was going on. He just didn't get it. He wanted me to grow up at 6 years old. And he ended up selling all of the Motu figures I had at his house, including Snake Mountain. I was like, "What? Why? I'm six. Like, come on."
Right? Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Sure. And the one thing I don't understand with Funko Pops, and specifically to Masters of the Universe, they have all these characters and they have all this stuff. They did a Skeletor with Snake Mountain Pop Town, but there is no He-Man with Castle Grayskull Pop Town.
No, not yet. Not yet. That is for sure. We had all that. We had Castle Grayskull. Yeah. We had Snake Mountain. I mean, we had all those. All those toys.
The only thing I never had was the Palace of Power. Not the Eternia. Palace of Eternia, the old palette. They just announced a brand new one that's coming, supposedly, if the funding gets funded, I guess. But, yeah, the Palace of Eternia was one thing I didn't have, but I had almost everything else Masters back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had it all. And we were spoiled, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Do you feel you are coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment when you were done with toys altogether, and have you ever considered stopping as a collector or even selling your whole collection?
I mean, yes, there has been times. There has been times. Absolutely. And I'm working on moving probably cross country. And so I've kind of got to come up with a thing or a thought or something of how I'm going to move all these. Because am I going to move them all, or am I going to sell them and start new? So I've really got to kind of, I don't know. It's going to be difficult to make that decision for sure.
Yeah. So when Karen and I moved from Chicago to Washington, we were in Vancouver, Washington. Most of my pops that I had a whole there's pictures online. I can send one to you so you can see it. I think you might have seen it already, but I had a whole office filled with pops. I had like three or four shelves in there, three or four bookcases just filled with pops. And all of that went into storage with my dad. And I told Karen at the time, I said, look, wifey, at the time, I said, I don't want to put these in boxes. They got to be in totes. So we got to go. But we bought like 10 or 12 of the black and yellow totes, and I just put them all in there, and I said, here you go, Dad, you know, thank you so much for storing them. We went out to Washington and I started buying more, and that's when I finally got the little suite in the mail and whatever else and all that. And by the time I had to move from Washington here to Indiana, I think I had another, so there's 10 or 12, there were, I got most of them out, but there were 10 or 12 totes in my dad's storage. But from Washington to here, I had to buy another 7 or 8 totes, because from 2019 to 2022, I was still buying pops. I was still collecting. I was still building my collection. So use the black and yellow totes if you're moving. You may have to use a lot of them, but use those.
Yeah, it's it's going to be difficult for sure. So,
absolutely. What is something that does not have a toy of it that you'd love to have in toy form? So it can't be anything that they've already made, but what is something you want in toy form that has never been done before?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know.
See, told you they just get more difficult as we go along.
I couldn't think of anything, because, I mean, like, most of everything that most everything's been covered, I guess.
Most everything. Funko still hasn't revived the ALF license yet, though, because we still don't have an ALF pop yet.
But that's been a toy, like, back in the day.
Well, it has. Yes, it was, but, like, damn it, I want Funko Pop Alf.
Yeah, definitely. As long as he's fluffy or furry or fuzzy. Yeah,
blocked, yep.
Yep. With a what cat.
Just make sure it's not in his mouth.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boy, that would be hilarious. What is a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for real people? So a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously a car or something, right? So like maybe like the Batmobile or something. That would be freaking cool. So,
yeah, that would be awesome.
Or like the Stitch, the little red rocket ship. That would be
the big red Battle Cruiser, that's what it is. Yep. Wow, yep. How did I remember that? Probably because I just watched those movies again recently. And I will name him Leroy. And I'm like,
yep.
Really? Really?
Yep.
Oh, hamsterveal. Oh, Lord. All right, folks. Well, question 37 is not in a row. It's kind of null and void. So we're going to just hop, skip, and jump right over it. toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect that you tend to struggle with the most?
Not having enough money when the toys drop. To be able to get them.
Yeah. So. And people have told me, oh, he'll still be there by May 1st. And I'm like, okay, sure, fine. It's only 2 weeks. But, and I was really, really like, I only have.
I fight for justice.
The Lights and Sounds Batman. I did not get the Lights and Sounds Vader because I figured they would not get James Earl Jones to do any of his classic lines because he's retired from being Vader. They announced the Lights and Sounds Optimus Prime. I freak out, and then I think to myself, wait, we need more information. Because if Peter Cullen is not in this, I'm not buying it. Even though it's only $18, you can't do a Lights and Sounds Optimus Prime Generation 1 and not have the voice of a... And I finally saw Disc Trackers. Of course, by the time this episode is out, folks, this is all null and void. But I saw Disc Trackers post a video and I heard the voice. And I know Peter Cullen's voice like the back of my hand. And people on Disc Trackers Instagram were like, is it really Peter Cullen? I'm like, if it's not Peter Cullen, I will gnaw off my right arm. And I have cerebral palsy, so my right arm is the cerebral palsy arm, which is the one I can't, like, I will gnaw off my arm if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty damn sure it's Peter Cullen as the voice of Optimus Prime saying, Autobots, roll out.
Awesome.
But the, like you were saying about not having, you know, enough money at the time when they drop, I'm like, oh, damn it, it dropped, and I'm not getting paid for another 2 weeks. Oh, well. I'm at the point in my life where if I can't get it right away, if I can get it eventually, fine, sure, whatever. But if I can't, if I don't end up getting it, it's whatever. Water under the bridge, I guess.
Yep.
I guess. I don't know. What is one positive or one negative memory you have with buying toys?
None. None. I don't have any negative whatsoever.
Well, positive or negative.
Nothing really. I mean,
okay, that's fine. All right, so Funko gives you the keys to the kingdom. If you could create any toy, what would you want to create?
Oh, gosh.
Like, unlimited budget, unlimited everything. You can make whatever you want.
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to say... So, like, in regards to sodas and stuff, I mean, I don't think a lot of, like, the DC women and stuff get the recognition that they deserve in sodas, like, yet. So, I mean, obviously, it would have to be, like, Hot Girl and Black Canary and Zatanna and Huntress and all of them. I think I definitely think that they need to be made, and they need to be made soon, so.
Yeah. I don't know why they haven't been made yet. I mean, we have Batgirl sodas. We have Harley sodas. We have...
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. We have Supergirl?
No. No.
Well, we don't have Supergirl. No. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
And with the new Supergirl movie coming out, you'd think that that would be something that they'd want to do, you know?
I mean, maybe they will once it gets closer.
Hopefully.
Who knows? So.
Yeah.
What is the one piece of advice you would give the toy collecting fandom in general?
Collect what you like. Okay. So definitely collect what you like and not what anybody else likes, or don't fall into the FOMO of having to get it today. You can wait and the prices will come down. So... Definitely collect what you like.
Very true, folks. And don't be like her and buy everything. How do you have the space for all of that? Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, I have my room.
Yep.
For the sodas. So if I lose that room, then I've got to rethink about it. So.
Well, if you're moving, you got to think about a whole new adventure with them. You got to think about, you know, what, you know, how they're going to be displayed in the next place, because the next place isn't going to be anything like what you currently have, probably, right, most likely, because every place is different. So,
right.
Yep. It's always interesting having to move a toy collection, because every new place you have to think up a whole new way. Like, I still haven't displayed there. I move everything around half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Although once that Wayne Manor and once that Batwing get opened, I highly doubt those are ever leaving that top shelf, because, oh boy, those are heavy. Well, they're not heavy, but they're larger things. What is advice you'd give to kids who enjoy toys?
Enjoy them, like, you know, play with them. Even if your parents tell you that you're too old to play with them, who cares? Like, just enjoy them, you know. So,
absolutely. All right, folks, that's gonna do it. We're gonna take a quick ad break. We're gonna hear some ads and some other stuff, and we're gonna come back and we're gonna see what Teresa has to promote and all that good stuff. We'll close the show right after this.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hey everybody, it's Jason with 7 Bucks a Pop and Mystery Grill. In case you didn't know, 7 Bucks a Pop is your number one stop for buying Funko Pops online. In addition to the thousands of Funko Pops that you could purchase right now, we have our popular Pop Shields and Pop Shield Armors, plus our Signature Series collection featuring authenticated signatures on Funko Pops. And join us on MysteryGrill.com for your weekly Funko Mystery Box. We have our Sunday drops every week at 3 p.m. Eastern, and our Theme Thursday drops every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. What a time to be a Mystery Grailer. Check us out on 7bucksapop.com and MysteryGrail.com. Plus on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
That's 7bucksapop.com.
Hey, that was fun!
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppinoffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppinoffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on throwing it back to the past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this show if it weren't for the toys that made us so addicted to nostalgia. Throwback Toys Chicago is your primary go-to collectible store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star Wars,
Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT Mask, and more. Get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for a loose G.I. Joe ice cream soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Throwback Toys Chicago is all about throwing you back into your geeky obsession with toys. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, just two blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email them at tbtchicago@gmail.com. Visit them and give Throwback Toys Chicago a chance to throw you back to your childhood.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
All right, we are back here on ToyCast with Teresa the Soda Queen. What would you like to promote?
You know, go give Slapshot Pops a follow on YouTube, Instagram, whatnot. Same with Rock and Row. So John and Joanna, I've mentioned them. Jim, obviously we've mentioned them with the soda decks and stuff.
Yeah.
Go give him a follow on YouTube and whatnot and Instagram. They're always selling some great stuff. Professor Josh, gotta give him a shout out, definitely. So go give him a follow on Instagram, YouTube and whatnot. And then, of course, the Poppin' Duo. I mean, you got to give Vince and Brie kudos. They're hilarious.
They're crazy.
They are. So go give them a follow on Instagram, YouTube, and whatnot as well. Go support all of Pop Force One members. I'm kind of getting in, or I'm more into the comics right now than I am anything else, but you know, I'm still collecting sodas and all that fun stuff. So, I do have a YouTube as well. So you guys can check me out. It's just Teresa Newell. So go give me a sub. I also have an Instagram. So it's tnewell2244 on Instagram. So come check us out. Give me a follow and, you know, check out my videos. I'm actually will be having a video dropping here soon. So keep an eye out for that.
Hopefully by the time this episode is out, folks, in mid to late May, she'll have at least 4 new videos. I challenge you.
I don't know about that.
25K by Monday, damn it. Let's go.
Yeah, no.
If they can get 25K by Monday, you can have 4 videos out by the middle of May.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, I don't even have 300 subs, so that's not going to happen.
It's not all about the sub count, so.
Yeah.
Not all of them. Hey, I only have like 6. I've been on YouTube for 15 years, and I'm more of a podcaster than a YouTuber, so I don't really. But I still have like 680 something subs, I think. I don't know.
I just don't advertise my channel much, so.
Go check her out on YouTube, folks. The link will be in the show notes on geekcastradio.com. Anything else you want to say about toys, toy collecting, or anything before I run through the closing?
Keep collecting.
That's right. All right, folks, just interrupting before I run through my closing here. Since the recording of this episode with Teresa, Slapshot Pops has reached 25K on YouTube, 25,000 subscribers on YouTube. Congratulations to them.
I have gone from 680 subscribers to 700 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you to everyone who watches my wacky whatever I put on my YouTube channel. Now, time to close the show. Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please, Spotify, and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @TFToyCast for the show. I am @TFTO, and Mike, you're not on Twitter, are you?
No.
She's smart, folks. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out TF ToyCast or ToyCast over there as well. Next time on ToyCast, I have no idea because I don't remember what episode number this is. This is why I don't do unnumbered episodes, folks. Because if it's unnumbered, it doesn't matter. Right?
That's right.
That's right. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Teresa.
Join us next time when we'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast.